Well, it's a hot day. Maybe you'll get a hot message. Glad to see everybody. We'll talk a little bit about the fire. Came on the, am I right, the second verse, the third round? Fire always knows what's going to happen. That's the direction of spiritual heritage. And I'm going to talk to Israel today, all of you and the rest of Israel. And I'm going to talk about your spiritual heritage. So the fire knew exactly what to do. I'm filling in today for someone who's busy and had a lot of work, business work to do and couldn't prepare. We have a practice that we do here that where the Lord said that the leaders and the ministers in the church should preach by the direction of the Spirit. It says, if you receive not the Spirit, you shall not teach. So there's been times that I have had the people fill in for me, and because of circumstances sometimes won't allow the kind of preparation that we'd like to have. I'm going to talk today about the Star of Elda. And this is be new to people. Probably never have heard of such a thing before. It's off the tablet of Gabriel. And it's the same Gabriel that came in the New Testament as an archangel, and it's Yahtzakad. Yahtzakad, Gabriel means man of God. Our first father is a man of God. And so he established the law in his lifetime, the law of Jeshurun. The word Jeshurun means the sacred path, the peaceful path, the way. And the law of Jeshurun is in your Bible. It's Moses is called the King of Jeshurun. It's one of Jacob's names, one of his three names. It's also called the Law of Jeshurun. And so it's very little talked about. Nobody really knows much about it. As far as I know, the Israelites around the world, I never hear that word. And yet it's pretty prominent for Moses to be called the King of Jeshurun and that to be a name of Jacob. You look up Jeshurun, and it says it's a symbolic name of Israel. You look up Israel, and it's a symbolic name of Jacob. You look up Jacob, and it means heel grabber. Everybody thinks that that's kind of a meaningless name, but it's really a spiritual name. He grabbed a hold of the pathway of his forefathers, and he walks in the steps of Abraham. It's Abraham's heel he grabbed. All right, now, in the book of Moses, Book of Remembrance of Moses, that's going to come out this next week, on the front of it, there is an image of the tablet of Gabriel. It's embossed on there in gold color, and it's an accurate depiction of it. So a few of you have seen it, except the ones that received the flyer that had that image on there. And in the middle of it, there's called the Star of Elda. And the Star of David looks a lot like it, but the Star of Elda came first, because the star was in Elda before the creation of the world. So I want to explain to you today about the Star of Elda. There's been some questions about that, and I think it's critical. And the Lord has asked me to say some things today that I'm going to be saying to the house of Israel. If you look in your pseudepigrapha under the life of Adam and Eve, and I loaned my book out, so I can't tell you the page. Can you remember it? Can't remember it. Anyway, there's a statement that this personal symbol of Enochised, the Most High God, is a triangle. like this. And in that reading it says he put it on the grave of Yatzakad, but that was written about 100 B.C., probably in the early part anyway, or the first century B.C., according to Charlesworth. And so that tells us that from a long time B.C., that people have known that Enochised's personal symbol is a triangle. And so then you read a lot about the Urim and Thummim and how they were three-cornered stones and so forth. And so the Star of Elda is actually referring to the Urim of the Presence. The Urim of the Presence means it's Enochised's personal possession. It's in his presence, and the meaning of it is very important. I want to explain to you the meaning of the Star of Elda. I brought this little thing here to, and I got enough room to. The Star of Elda, there are two vertical lines. Like that. And this is how the Urim works. I'm drawing this on the board. And so when those come together, then you have the two of them brought together. And you have the Star of Elda. This one on, I guess you call it the left, it's the left when you're looking at it. It represents Enochised's ability to love you in spite of sin. He doesn't hate his enemies. He doesn't tell you to love your enemies and he gets to hate them. He loves his enemies. He loves people even though they sin. And the one on this side, this one feels that he can reveal himself to you to such an extent that you can be redeemed and live with him. Those are the two meanings of the Star of Elda as it comes together. You have to move. Thank you. Then there's a Star of David, and it's got two horizontal lines. It has no vertical lines on it. And the Star of Elda has no horizontal lines on it. And then there's the other one this way. And when they're put together, you have the Star of David. So because of the horizontal lines and the vertical lines, they're opposite. They're not just turned a little bit. They're the opposite. And that's significant because evil twists the truth and makes it the opposite. So this, tell me the meaning of these now. This is a pyramid and it's based on the earth. And it's talking about man's power reaches up to heaven so that men can be the sons of God, literally. That's why Enoch, the seventh from Adam, when his parents came to visit him, he didn't want anybody to know he had parents. That's where circumcision started. Christ himself was circumcised. And this one means that God, this is based in heaven, that God in heaven in his power will come down to the earth and help man conquer his enemies. His godlike man who's the Pharaoh or the king or somebody. This one represents the law of Jeshurun. This one represents the Levitical law. The Levitical law would say that after 400 years, after the Midianites waited for to attack Israel, that God wants revenge. He doesn't want just the scolding. He wants to annihilate all of them, men, women, and children, and everything. That's this one. That's the Star of David. And so there's a lot to be understood about these meanings. Remember, these two things come together. Christ is the messenger of salvation and the prince of the host to bring redemption. And salvation and redemption come together. One hand, the covenant tablet, had the circle in the tablet. One hand is salvation, the other one's redemption. And they belong to the same man. They come together. But Shekath, which is the name of the bottomless pit, and the leadership of men with power and armies on the earth are come together. Now, this matter of the Urim, I should show you something. Let me get this out of here, if I can. Excuse me. I'm going to show you some things. I got some copies of tablets here. It's not on that one and that one. The first three, it's not on. It's on five of our tablets. And right here is the Urim on the covenant tablet. And they're purposely tilted so they don't look like a pyramid. And this is the exact copy. This is a copy of the tablet that came to this continent with Emeth, which was a descendant of Moses. And then on this one, the judgment tablet, here they are again. And this came off of a cicada. I mean, so nobody just made this up. So there they are again in the form of a triangle that's not a pyramid. They're also on the protection tablet and the tablet of little book of John. So all those things never show a horizontal line. It's always a vertical one. Now, this is really important because what it means to Israel. And as I started studying this, doing my notes, the Lord brought me some things that I didn't expect. And that's what I'm going to share today. I love Israel. And I always have. My heart's always been joined to those who are dispersed on this continent and anywhere. And so I was reading, I wasn't studying at this time, but I was reading, trying to just relax my mind after we finally finished the book and got it off to the publisher, the printer. I was looking through old archaeological review books. And I began to realize that the covenant of Abraham would have saved them, because this symbol represents the covenant of Abraham. When I went out to find, first of all, I should give you a little backstory. We had, as you guys remember, almost all you guys remember, we had an in-gathering and we were there. And during those discussions, we kind of came urgent that we wished that God would help Israel find the true law. And nobody really knows what Enoki said to Moses on Sinai. There are 17 chapters in the book with laws on them before he went to Sinai. And then when he's up at Sinai, the big thing that he gets told is hurry back down, because they're messing up with a golden calf. And so we ask God to help Israel at the altar in a ceremony be awakened and to give them the law, the real law. And so after that in-gathering thing, there began to be activity with awakening of Israel in big ways. And we're all witness to that, and you probably were too. Kanye West came out a couple weeks later in favor of the Israelite movement and different things. So then we decided we're going to look on the internet to see if we could find a tablet, because if he wants them to have the law, that's, the Lord told me he wants a book of remembrance of Moses. And I told the people at in-gathering, I just not worthy to do that. I just, you know, Moses had to take his shoes off. There's not enough of me to take off to be worthy to stand there, okay? So we looked and looked, Shem and I looked country by country at all the tablets. You'd be surprised how many. There's hundreds and hundreds of them. Nothing looked right. So I began to ask the Lord, what should we do? Because he wants a tablet. If he wants a book of remembrance of Moses, I have to have a source. That's an agreement we made when he brought the Urim. I won't just look and see what I see. I have to look at something that he has caused to be written and interpret it with the Urim. I can't just look. Okay, he didn't want me to, and I wouldn't do it. So I said, Lord, I have to have a source. So he said, well, you looked on the internet, so Semiazah isn't going to give you one. So I said, well, Lord, what should I do? He says, just look. I'll show it to you. I said, okay, we'll see how this works. So I went out in the morning. I needed bright morning sunlight on the Urim. And I sat on the side of the hill where the kids wouldn't see me on their way to school. And I just took a chair out there and a pencil and paper. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm here. Now what? Immediately in front of me came this picture of a tablet. So I just started drawing it, and he didn't say a word. I just started drawing everything on it. I kept looking at it, looking down my paper, and looking to make sure I had it right. I didn't know anything it meant, except it had the 12 tabs of Jeshurun on there. I knew that. Everything else, I didn't know what it meant. And I didn't realize how critical it was where every little thing was placed. And so the two bottom fruits are a little bit high. They were in the right place when I looked at it, but when I drew it just a little bit high, and now it's that way on the tablet. But after I drew that, the Lord said, pay particular attention to the two lightning strikes and where they're located. So I thought, whoa, I've got to make sure this is where these are at. So I looked at the tablet again, and I made sure they went exactly. The lightning came through a cloud on one side and struck the waymark of forgiveness, and it split the cloud, and the lightning was in the cloud. Part of it was in the cloud. On the other side, the lightning struck the tab, the waymark of the resurrection, and this time it split the cloud, and it didn't stay. None of it stayed in the cloud. It just came full force right through it. And one of them was kind of blunt on the forgiveness side, and the other one's very sharp. And so I drew it just exactly like that, because he said, be careful. And then he said something really profound that the fire today is well aware of. Okay? He said, I bequeathed the Star of Elda upon Jacob so that Israel can be the emissaries of loving kindness to the world. Bequeathed means to disperse personal property. So Enoki said, and Moza gave their personal property to Jacob for the sake of Israel, the inheritance of Israel, the direction of inheritance the fire just talked about. Are you with me? Are you understanding what a fire can do here? Okay. So it all came through Abraham. And you wonder, why Abraham? Why would Abraham be the one who gets the covenant, who gets his progenitors, his family gets the Star of Elda? Why not Melchizedek or Enoch or somebody? And that was a question we had as scribes, as we're scribing this. I had anyway, I think the scribes did too. It's because of Abraham's behavior, his character, what he was like as a man. Not only what he was like as a man, but what he was like as a man in the circumstances that God would need him to be and his people to be for the rest of the course of the earth. Enoch was not in those circumstances. He wasn't surrounded by evil. He didn't have the people in Succoth warring against him. Neither did the rest of them, the early people. They were separate. Zion and Ma'in in the old times, they were two separate peoples. But now they migrated out of that country and they migrated over to Qatar and eastward and southward. And they're going to be living among the wicked. And now the inhabitants of Succoth can find intelligence against the righteous and know how to come against them, how to destroy them. And he knew the war that was coming on them. So he picked Abraham. And you need a little backstory of Abraham. So I'm going to tell you about that a little bit. Abraham's mother was named Ida. And Ida means the mother of a multitude. Okay, and Ida's father was Halak, and Halak's father was Koki, and Koki's father was Shairi, and Shairi was the one the Bible calls Arphaxad in the Chaldean language, and Shairi means a remnant will remain, and so does Arphaxad. Both names mean the same thing. Okay, so Shairi and Koki went to the place where Yatzakad and Kava, our first parents, established the law. They went there to the actual place. And Enoch and showed them around and he told them where all the sons of the 12 sons of Yatzakad were standing and what they did. And his son Koki, the name means to inscribe stone tablets. That's what the name Koki means. A scribe of stone tablets. He was given the task, a lifelong task, of writing the tablet of Gabriel. And that was the name that God gave Yatzakad when he was grieving over Lamech killing his son, his Nephilim son. And so he spent his whole life, and this is really dramatic when you see it, with the Urim, of course, but he spent his whole life interviewing people and going around and getting this tablet, and yet he didn't know what it's actually the Tree of Life on this tablet. In the center of the Tree of Life is a Star of Elda. There's seven branches on this tree, and there's seven fruits on the tree, and there's 12 tabs, or the waymarks of the law. Okay? He didn't know what the fruit meant, and I didn't either. I thought maybe they meant sevening yourself. I took a few notes as I was pondering this tablet after I wrote it, and I didn't have a clue what it was because it turned out it wasn't what I thought it was. And so Cokie made the tablet with the fruit on it, not knowing what it meant. And then Melchizedek established Shabuah. And they are the seven foundations of Shabuah. And so you have the law and the testimony. You have the law, which is the waymarks of the law on the tree, the 12 tabs. The testimony is Shabuah, because the foundations of Shabuah have to be experienced. They're not just followed like a law. They're something you experience. The sanctity of marriage and the man that's in all things and his fulfilled vision of redemption and salvation and your vision and the Spirit inside of you. You have to experience that. You experience who God made you to be, and you experience the Spirit in you. And you experience your feelings as you live out your gift of life. I'm going through the seven foundations of Shabuah. And then, last of all, you experience righteousness and charity, innocence of heart, and a connection to creation. Those are the foundations. Those are all experiential. And so what happens is, just to make it a little bit short, is the fruit on the tree informs the waymarks. So your experience tells you how to keep the law. Your experience with God. And the Lord said that the law is so simple that a child could write it. And it could be known by any people and written in any language and understood in any culture. Isn't that amazing? The law. It isn't just for Israel. Israel's supposed to take it to the world. And so in our book, Book of Remembrance of Moses, we have a version of the children's law for children under, is it under eight? Seven or eight. And then like 8 to 14, we have a youth version of the law. So our kids can keep the law. Isn't that fun? Teach it in school. And they'll be excited to do it. Because you don't have to stone anybody. Okay. Are you hearing me? Okay. So it's all contingent on the covenant of Abraham. The covenant of Abraham under this is a covenant of circumcision, because man is going to be like God. And that's what circumcision started to be was invented by the secret society of Seku, which is a cult, a sorcery cult. It means the secret society of the knife. And the knife is a knife of an assassin. Okay? Don't you guys worry. Christ himself was circumcised, so the Lord knows what's going on. All right? So, let me continue with Ida. There was a man present when Melchizedek established Shabuah. His name was the old man.
Nor.
Nahor, it says in the Bible, but the Lord just said Nor. And he was from the pit. He was in contact with the pit on a regular basis, the bottomless pit. And he was watching what was going on. And he heard rumors while he was there that Noah used a stone tablet, to bring the flood. And he thought, whoa, maybe there's another stone tablet that can stop us, because he's intending on making a nation, making a name for himself, like those who did the Tower of Babel. So he listened there, and he thought, well, we got to start looking for a stone tablet, because it could stop us from making a name for ourselves in the world and being somebody whose power can reach to heaven and heaven can reach back and help us subdue the world and conquer all the people. And they discovered Cokie, whose name means the scribe of stone tablets. He should have had a hidden name, and he didn't. Some of us have hidden names. And so they went, and they took him. They took Cokie. And he was old, and they beat on him and tried to get him to tell where the tablet was. But he got news of it from Ida, his granddaughter, because her husband was with this man, Nor, and he was Terah. Ida was married to Terah, which is Abraham's father. And he was a sorcerer, and he was connected with Kaldu, the one who the Chaldeans got their name from. And he was connected with Nor, those three men. And so, being married to him, she heard the news, and she told her grandfather they're going to come and try to find the tablet. So he gave the tablet to his son, Halak, who's the father of Ida. And he hid it very carefully so nobody would ever find it. And they came and got Cokie, and they're trying to get him to tell where it was, and he couldn't tell because he gave it to his son, and he wasn't going to tell him that. And they imprisoned him. I saw it. They bricked him into a little room with heavy blocks. And he was old, probably too old to move him. They couldn't get him to talk, so they went to his son, Halak. They figured, well, maybe he has it. They were right. He did have it. And she told her father, they're coming now after you. So he went to get it where it was hidden, and it was gone. And he said, oh, the tablet and the Urim of Shiri are gone. But in his heart, he knew his daughter took it. And so this was an amazing thing to see with the Urim. So Ida, her father and her grandfather, are in captivity, and these guys are starving them to death, trying to get them to tell where this tablet is, and they both died. And she had in her possession the item that would have saved their lives. Think of this. A woman preserved the law for you. I can't even imagine the grit it took to have that. You know where she hid it? In her container of womanly things. Okay, where no man would dare to look. And she sewed it into the side. It was a box, and on the side of the box it was like this. And it was sewed in. It was thinner than this. And it was sewed into the side of that box, and you could look at the box, you couldn't see anything. And there was claws in there, and in the claws were wrapped the Urim. And so she had that the whole time. And she never told anybody until Abraham was born, and he was 25 years old. In the meantime, she had a son named Haran, which means the one who loves death, brought about by sorcery. She had a son named Nor, was that his name? And it means to hide and keep secret, hide with a covering.
That Nor means to breathe angrily.
Oh, breathe angrily. It was the other
Lot.
It was Lot that means to hide. So all those names were coming out of sorcery, and so she was beside herself, and she said, Lord, how can I live? My children are all the product of sorcery. And the Lord came to her, and he said, you shall have a son of salvation. And so Abraham was everything to her. Her whole life was tied up with Abraham because he was her son of salvation. He was from God. Okay? So, just to fill in a little note, she was stolen when she was 20 by
Terah.
I'm too old to remember names. And taken because they didn't want her testimony to go to another generation. So she'd been through a lot, okay? She'd been through a lot in her life. And now she has a son of salvation. So then her son, her husband's son, through one of his slaves, had a daughter, or he wasn't, he's the one that had a daughter. Terah had a daughter who was Abraham's sister, but not the same mother. He used one of his slaves in a worship of Ashtoreth. Okay, and he wanted a son who would be a king and a general of armies, suppress and destroy people. Sarai is how you say it. And he kept saying the name over and over, Sarai, Sarai, in his chanting and all the stuff he was doing in the night with the evil. And when it was born, it was a girl. Sarai is a girl. And inside of her was put all these feelings of a king and a general, all the stuff he put on her when she was conceived. And so Terah, when he fled northward, he wouldn't let his children marry the local people because he would escape slave. He was a slave of Kaldu. And so he made them marry their own family. So Sarai was the one picked out to be the wife of Abraham. So this son of salvation, now just picture this. This son of salvation she finally got, now gets a wife created through evil with a man's name. Oh, I wept. It was so bad. I felt so awful. We had to quit. Put the Urim away and quit. We're so looking forward to a happy life for Ida with a son of salvation after all she'd been through. And then he gets this girl for a wife. So Ida is sitting there the next time we come back with Urim, and she's sitting with her legs folded under, and she's kneading bread. And she's singing a kneading song. And it has to do with Motza will take you and join you to the grass of the field, which is what wheat is. And he will heal your troubles and help you and save you. And she was crying because she just got word of who her son was going to marry. And she's kneading this bread and she's singing a song. It's actually a prayer to the Lord as she's making her bread to help her. And along comes Sarai, and she's crying. She falls down at her feet and falls down with her head in her lap, and she moves her bread out of the way. And she held her for a while and stroked her head a little bit, and pretty soon Sarai said, I have to be the wife of Abraham, and he's big and strong, and I'm afraid because I have evil things all around me, and one of them told me it's going to kill me. So Ida, who wished 10 minutes before that Sarai was dead, and I did too, wished that girl would just go away, get him a good wife, she changed, and she had compassion. And she had flour of the bread of the presence, which is shewbread, on her hands. And she anointed her head with the flour of the bread of the presence, and she prayed for her with deep compassion. I was reproved, I'll tell you. And then she asked her, will you quit using your father's idols and stop listening and doing anything he teaches you? And she said, yes, I will. She said, Abraham doesn't like idols. Mother-in-law, or mother, I mean, actually, mother and mother-in-law both, I guess. So she promised she would do that, so she made a kelly bread and fed it to her, and Sarai took that covenant. And that's what happened, that's the backstory of Sarai, because when she went to Egypt, she wanted to be the Pharaoh's concubine, remember? Because she wanted to rule Egypt. She had that spirit in her. She did that several times. You'll find that in the book. So here we come now with this kind of background, and I'm going to read to you the covenant of Abraham. And this has not been known for nearly 4,000 years. And now you're going to hear it. Are you ready? I got to get some different. My bifocals are too hard to look out of. I'm going to read the verse before this just to give you a feeling for it. And as I watched this woman, Ida, who had every reason to wish Sarai was dead, have such deep and abiding compassion on her, I was reproved roundly. And I love Sarai too in my repentance. And I see the marvel of compassion shining its face out to the world in the midst of terrible sin, and I will never forget my lesson. And it came to pass that in the 25th year of Abraham, in the 18th year of Sarai, Ida called Abraham to her, and she is in her sickbed. And she said, I have called you here to instruct you and to bless you. And Anokised has asked me to have you enter into a covenant with him. And you are my son of salvation. And by your covenant, you will also be a son of salvation for Anokised. And through your covenant, all peoples will be blessed. And I do this because I am soon to die. And Abraham said, O mother, do not say that. You must live. And she said, Hush, it is true. I am about to return to Eden to be with all my people, and my father and my mother are there waiting for me. So listen carefully, my son. I have here in my container of womanly things, and not one person has ever known that which it contains. And she brought it forth, being covered up, and she opened it up, and the top flap is folded over, showing the contents inside. And there are colorful images painted on the outside of it, and I can know that this discourse of Ida is, in fact, the covenant of Abraham. And we are hearing it in its fullness for the first time. And she reached out and she took Abraham's hands and she placed them on the two sides of the portion of the tablet that was sewn in, it being upright between his hands. There's a picture of it. It's hard to see. You can look at it later. And she reached out. And it does not look like the sewing and closing a tablet has ever been opened up. I don't know why, but in the Urim, I always look for little details like that. I'm looking at this sewing thing. Well, that's never been opened before. Nobody's ever seen this thing. And she said, here starts the covenant. On the top of this page, 92, in the Book of Remembrance of Moses, there's a title that says, The Covenant of Abraham. And she said, My son Abraham, listen. She was a listener. And she put her hands on his hands, and she pressed them together firmly. And her face became bright and alert with a clear mind. And she said, between our hands, she's putting his hands, we put our hands on the Bible. She's putting her hands on the most sacred writing that she knew of. Between our hands is a tablet of Gabriel, and I am bequeathing this treasure to you. And this tablet came here from Ma'in. And with it is the Urim of the son of Melchizedek, who is named Shairi. And I am trusting this treasure into your care as I depart, prepare to depart from this earth. And I want to give you instructions regarding this sacred writing. I myself do not know how to read this tablet. I only know that it speaks of a sacred pathway back to Eden. And I want you to enter into a holy covenant with regards to it, because it has come now to be your responsibility. And it seems that the whole world of the Ur-Kadeshi are expecting you to live by it. and to bring it forward to the next son of salvation. That's going to be Jacob. And when it comes time for you to choose the next son of salvation, I want to remind you that Methuselah established preference for the firstborn, and that practice must not pass along with this tablet, for such is not the will of Enochised, and he is born, and who is born first is temporal, and for Enochised all things are spiritual. My firstborn went astray, and Enoch's firstborn went astray, and Yatzakad's firstborn went astray, and you are my son of salvation, and you have not, and you are my firstborn, and you have not gone astray. And you are to see that this tablet only comes down to a son of salvation, and he shall be the one who must obtain this treasure. And this is your covenant. Your father detests you because you are a peaceable man, and you have the character of kindness. And I would counsel you that as you move out across the land in gentle considerations with all people, that you are not to take anything by force. Do not arm yourself or your fellows, for it is known that since our parents first came out of Eden, there has been no weapons found among them that were used to inflict violence on any man. And Ida continued, and she said, and do not have slaves, but hirelings only, who are free to come and go, and do not oppress them in their wages, and make peace wherever you go, so that there can be no disputes over wells of water, or pasture lands, or places to dwell. And walk gently and quietly upon the earth within the boundaries of that which is written upon this tablet, because on it is written the pathway of righteousness leading back to Eden. And you shall be a father of a multitude. They share the same name. Ida means the mother of a multitude. His name means the father of a multitude. And your example in all your loving kindness must be such that it can carry forward from generation to generation unto the ends of the earth. His personality, his behavior, what he's like, will carry forth to the ends of the earth. And for from your seed, Enochised shall find his blessing, and the character of your behavior will bless both heaven and earth. You are a circle drawer, and you will have skill to bring rain and to find water in the earth. And most of all, as you walk on the pathway back to Eden, the living water will flow out with you. And your ways of holy living will teach and affect the hearts of other peoples. What did Israel say with the Star of David? You have to marry only Israelites. You have to kill everybody else. Well, you don't have, you're so pure and holy that you can't even have any foreigners in your land. Okay, where was I? All right. And your holy ways will teach and affect the hearts of other peoples and lead them to order their lives in peace by your example. And many of them will come into the covenant. This is talking about non-Israelites. And the living water, who is most of the Lamb, is that which makes a way that does not wander from Enochised, but leads straight to him. This is the origin of the make his path straight. And that which the Spirit instructs, you must obey. And when you do so, you will remain clean. Our first father was a shepherd, and you will be much like him. And that's Yatzakot. Because for a multitude, you will be like our first father in their restored pathway. Be patient with Sarai, because she has these past few years abandoned her father's idols and his teachings. And she desires to be a good wife for you, and she can overcome to accomplish the sanctity of marriage. Through hard trials that she brings you, love her. And in the end, you will fulfill this covenant, and your vision of created purpose upon the earth will find its way. And now you must leave this place, For without me here, evil will preside to overcome you in your covenant, and in your life, and in Sarai's life. So make a gracious farewell with your father, and show respect for his words to you. And Abraham embraced his mother, and he said, O mother, can I really accomplish this? And she said, you must. My father and my grandfather gave their lives for that which is between your hands. And it is a treasure for all those who live in Hebron and Salem, and who knows how far the blessing of this tablet of Gabriel will go. And Abraham said, I will do all that you have laid down for me, mother. And she said, Amen. And she died. What's so remarkable about this? Had Israel embraced the covenant of Abraham, they never would have gone into captivity in Babylon. Jeremiah said, don't go to war, just pay their tribute. He was right. Just a few years later, Babylon fell. They should have listened to him. They destroyed the temple. They killed them. Thousands and thousands of them, they marched them when they had just been starved to death. The ones that hadn't died yet, they put them on a long, grueling march across the desert for days. And then they wouldn't have been overrun by the Egyptians, because if they weren't armed and they're walking peacefully on the land, they're no threat to anybody. But when the Iranians or the Persians began to fight with Egypt, they were in the middle. And so Egypt whacked on them, and so did Persia, because they didn't want them to take the side of the other guy, because they were armed and they were fierce. They really did get help from Shekath. Okay, so then, even in the time of Christ, they revolted against Rome. And you should read the story, maybe you shouldn't. It's so bad. So many people were destroyed. It's unbelievable. Had they not taken up weapons, they wouldn't have been an enemy to Rome. Then they revolted again. Second revolt. And so now, I want to read to you the words of Isaiah. I gave you the wrong reference. It was chapter 8, not 9. Sorry about that. I bet he read that and wondered, what's Grandpa talking about? This is Isaiah. And I'm going to be giving you some. When I was 15 years old, the Lord read Isaiah to me. And ever since then, my heart's been joined to this book, so I can tell you some things that help you understand it sometimes. Okay, this is going to be I have to find my place here just a minute. This new Bible is, I love this new Bible, but its pages don't work quite the same. 8. Here we go. This is a whole, I'm going to read most of the chapter. This will answer your questions about the covenant of Abraham and lots of things. Moreover, the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll, and write in it with a man's pen concerning Mahal Shalalhashbaz. 50-cent word. Okay? Let me tell you about that word. Mahal Shalalhashbaz is the name of an identity that Isaiah got by prophecy. The Lord prophesied there's going to be this a definition of an entity, a force. It's going to be a power, and I'm going to call it Maher Shalalhashbaz, number 4122 in your Strong's. Maher is 41:18. Shalal is 79:98. Hash is 23:63. And Baz is 9:57. And together what they mean is, there is this enemy who's going to hurry to take hold of the prey. He's going to be excited to grab the booty or to steal everything he can get. Now, you wouldn't name the son that. You wouldn't name your son that. That's what that means, okay? So he says, right upon it, concerning Maher Shalal Heshbaz, and I took unto me faithful witnesses to record Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. Okay, let me tell you what those mean. Now he called faithful witnesses. This is how the code works in Isaiah. Uriah means the flame of Anokised. Okay, there's four flames on the tablet. Zechariah means Anokised will remember his covenant with Israel in the fourth flame. Jeberechiah means to kneel to bless Anokised. So his faithful witnesses are for the flame of Anokised in the fourth flame. God's going to remember his people Israel, and they're going to bow their knee and they're going to bless him by being emissaries of loving kindness. That's what that's saying. And I went into the prophetess. This is how he talks about it. And she conceived and bare a son. Then the Lord said to me, call his name Maher Shalal Heshbaz. For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, his father, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away by the king of Assyria. Well, that didn't happen for 405 years. According to my dates in my Schofield here. So it says before he's old enough to say his father's name and his mother's name, this is going to happen. So you know that he's talking about metaphor there when he says he went to the prophetess. What he's saying is he got this information through prophecy. And the Lord spake also unto me, saying, for as much as this people refuses the waters of Shiloh that go softly, covenant of Abraham, Shiloh, remember, they're the ones that went there that confirmed the covenant of Abraham, the waters of Shiloh that go softly, and they have refused the waters that go softly, and they rejoice in Rezin and in Remaliah's son. What Rezin and Remaliah's son are talking about is Rezin means the satisfaction of possessions and the satisfaction of revenge. And Remaliah's son means to have the desires to accumulate things, to pass them on to the next generation. Remaliah's son, an inheritance. So the inheritance is going to be wealth and power. That's what they've chosen instead of the waters of Shiloh that go softly. Are you with me? Am I getting too long here? You want me to keep going? Seriously. And now, therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them, the ones who reject Shiloh and his living waters, the waters of the river. In other words, if you don't like the waters that go softly, I'll give you some other kind of waters. So listen to this. Therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory, and he shall go over all his channels, his water channels, and go over all his banks. He shall pass through Judah, and he shall overflow and go over, and he shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings fulfill the breadth of the land. O Motzah. It says Emmanuel, God who is with us. Your land, the breadth of thy land, O Motzah. So he's telling them, okay, you're going to arm yourself. You're going to disregard the covenant of Abraham. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye of far countries. So he's not just talking about the Israelites in Israel. He's talking about the dispersed of Israel all over the earth. Give ear, ye in far countries. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Suppose that could apply to the first and second revolt against Rome. They girded themselves, and they're broken in pieces. They did it again, and they're broken in pieces. This is a fantastic man here. And the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. So how do you get out of this? What about those who do like the waters of Shiloh who run softly, who don't arm themselves and have no confederacy to have war? Say ye not a confederacy to all them of whom this people shall say a confederacy. Don't join their confederacy. Neither fear their fear, nor be afraid. Because they're going to have a confederacy and arm themselves because they're afraid. They're going to say, well, I'm going to take care of my family. I'm going to take care of my country, my neighborhood. I'm not going to let nothing happen to me. And they're going to arm themselves. They're going to be the enemy of Maher Shalal Hashbaz, who is at this moment on the horizon, more powerful 1,000 times over than in the days of Isaiah. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Himself. Know him. You're not sanctifying the Lord of hosts as an idea. Sanctify the Lord himself. You know him. Trust him. You don't need weapons. You don't need all the stuff. But he shall be for a stumbling, he shall be for you a sanctuary. But for a stumbling, a block of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. That means the ones in Israel and the ones dispersed. And a gin and a snare for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many of them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony. Trust in what you experience, with an oak, he said. And seal the law among my disciples. Don't allow false prophets. Don't allow people to speak who aren't hearing the Spirit. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from this house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are my signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living and to the dead? Seek him instead. To the law and to the testimony is where you should go. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through the time of tribulations, hardly be stead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. But those who hold fast to the covenant of Abraham and walk gently upon the land will be in the light, and they're called the children of light. And so, all the people of Israel need to take seriously the Star of Elda that's been bequeathed to you, a personal possession that God has given you to carry through the day of tribulations. And don't say, you know, a confederacy, we got to get together. We have, there's 4 million of us armed. They can't stop us. Oh, yes, they can. Oh, yes, they can. And they will. Babylon will fall. Their effort to destroy the world will collapse. And the day will arrive for the dominion of the house of Israel for the rest of the duration of the earth, and they shall be the emissaries of the Most High all the days of the earth. Thank you.